We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com.
Mully and Hall. Live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Ramsey will step up and he's going to run with a lot of green in front. He's going to get the first down and more inside the 10. Ramsey, touchdown Northwestern.
Great decision. There's man coverage everywhere. You see it. And when that happens, there's nobody with eyes on the quarterback. He gets out of the pass rush lanes and into the end zone. Man coverage ran everybody out of the field, and Ramsey recognized it right away and took off. Great decision.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are always delighted to welcome in Coach Fitzgerald. Great work at the Northwestern University, brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Fitz.
Hey, Mully. What's up, David? How are you guys? Good morning, and exciting week, to say the least.
Well, I mean, it really, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, but it shows the progress you're making in your program. I mean, you guys are on the verge of the first ever two number one picks on Thursday night. I think it's incredibly exciting. I think it speaks to how good the program is. You got a lot of guys that are going to have their name called during the draft. You must be pumped up for your players. It's a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, it's absolutely ecstatic. You know, they've put the work in, they've dedicated themselves, and, you know, you're right, this is kind of the next step as we've been building this thing, I think, in a consistent fashion. You know, you got top 10 academics, you got a top 10 football team, and now to have two guys drafted in the first round shows it to our guys currently on the roster and future recruits, you can have it all here at Northwestern, and couldn't be more excited for Rashawn and for Greg, and it's going to be an exciting day tomorrow, to say the least.
So Rashawn Slater could be the first tackle off the board, the second tackle more likely, Fitz. How would you describe his NFL readiness? Also, Greg Newsome, the Bears might be in play at 20. When you talk about how ready each guy is, what do you see?
Well, let's start with Rashawn, you know, a young man that came from Houston Clements High School in Sugar Land, and you know, maybe not the powerhouse football program, but it took two plays to watch him on video. Just really athletic. All he needed to do was get bigger and stronger, and he bought into everything we talk about as being the best player development program in the country. You know, Jay Hooten and his staff in the weight room, Peter Reitz and our nutritionist, but the credit goes to Rashawn. He's got great feet, unbelievable balance. You know, he's got heavy hands in his punch. He's got an ability to sustain and finish. And, you know, I just think that top-end athleticism is something that jumps off the tape, especially when he went against Chase Young a year ago against Ohio State. We didn't play great, but, yeah, he absolutely dominated, arguably one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. And then, you know, Greg Newsome, you know, the Chicagoan, you know, from Glenbard North that, you know, is just was an instant impact guy as soon as he got into our program, graduated early, it's just been just a superstar since he's gotten here. High compete, great feet, does not want anybody to catch a ball on him in practice, let alone a game. Terrific teammate. And you know, I've called him a unicorn because he's a 4'3 guy that's 190-plus pounds with no off-the-field issues that can play corner or sub-nickel. I mean, this guy is the real deal, and someone's going to be ecstatic when they get him.
You know, and I think that's kind of the point here. When you talk to NFL scouts about players out of Northwestern, they talk about work ethic and the, you know, seriousness in terms of academics and the kind of, you know, the kind of development that you see in guys. And I know that, that Greg would be the first, I believe, 3-year guy coming out. So it's a real tribute to the work that you're doing, that the qualities of your program are reflected in the players that people want to take.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's kind of been the backbone, the hallmark of who we are. You know, our guys come, you know, to Sunday after playing with us ready. I mean, they're mature. They're pros when they arrive. And you know, ultimately, it's a supply and demand game. When you get to Sunday, you're at the top gun of football. You're at the peak, the pinnacle. And so, you know, last year starting training camp with 18 guys in camps, you know, that was the most that we've ever had. You know, we've got 11 great guys that are hopefully going to get opportunities, and hopefully a bunch of them get their names called this weekend. You know, you just want to be able to back up what you say in recruiting, and I think we've done that now. You know, we have not changed at all with what our expectations are about the, you know, the character and the right fit of the young person. We've got the highest GPA we've ever had at a 3.34, and you know, won 2 out of the last 3 Big Ten West championships. So, you know, we're really, you know, I think at a point that can really take off and take the next step. And, you know, we're so proud of these guys. Tomorrow is going to be, I can't wait. Rashawn has invited myself and Kurt Anderson, our great O-line coach, to be a part of draft day with him. So as my son said, "Hey Dad, congratulations. You get to go to the draft. You weren't good enough as a player." So
that's funny. That's great, Fitz. You know, there was a time when you going to Cleveland might have sparked an NFL rumor, so I'm glad you're going there for the draft.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you, it's getting harder and harder the older these knuckleheads get in my house, man.
So 16 years since a Northwestern player has gone in the first round, Luis Castillo, back in 2005, Fitz. So this is your first experience doing so, and it's great for Sean Slater and Greg Newsom. Also wonder, though, you know, Patty Fisher has meant so much to the Northwestern football program over the years. You can maybe relate to what he's feeling going into this draft with the uncertainty of getting a phone call, when it will come. Can he help an NFL team? Do you think he'll be on an NFL roster?
Well, absolutely he can help an NFL team. I mean, you look at the instincts and the production. You know, you want to talk about a consistent football player. You know, if he gets drafted, it, you know, then he goes to the organization. He's got to go compete, and they chose him, and that's a great thing. If it ends up, he has to go through the same door I went through, you know, you have to go as a priority free agent to an organization, then, you know, you got to pick the right club. And, you know, I'm assuming that he and his agent and his family will do that. But do I believe he'll make it? You know, I do, because he's got, I think, an incredible high football IQ. You know, he's got a ton of production and can play in special teams. And same thing with Blake Gallagher. I mean, we lose 2 great linebackers that both had a ton of production here. Like I said, 11 total guys going. You know, it's going to be an exciting weekend for the program. And I just can't wait to watch it unfold.
Fitz, I got to ask you about Justin Fields and the way that he's being perceived. I know you were the first guy to offer him a scholarship. I know you probably heard his NFL prospects, the way you guys shut him down. Are you confused as to why he's not as, you know, at the top of the draft, might be out of the top 10? He's still going to go, and people are still going to, you know, find out how good he is. But I'm just curious what your thoughts were as you watch this.
Yeah, well, you know, it's also smoke season right now, right? A lot of teams are blowing smoke on or people are. To maybe knock down, you know, quarterbacks or especially draft stock. And the quarterbacks get talked about a lot, and they should. I think Justin's a terrific football player. You know, he gets a bad rap for maybe the production in our game, but he was out there checking run plays. He hurt his thumb early in our game. And then we misfit some run plays, and really the Buckeyes didn't have to go back to the pass game. So that's why his numbers were a little off. I would contradict those feelings about that game, and I would say take a look at what he did then in the next one against Clemson a few weeks later. you know, and came right back and responded, you know, to a guy that, you know, to me, if someone's evaluating a quarterback, I want to know how much adversity he's faced and how he's overcome it, you know, and that was, although they won the game, you know, right away as Justin walks off the field, he's getting crushed on how technically, quote unquote, how he played. So I thought he responded boldly, and that's what the NFL is going to be. You're not going to have a roster full of better players than anybody else in the NFL. It's, you know, it's NASCAR football. Everybody's pretty much built the same, and quarterback makes a big difference. And I think whoever takes Justin's going to be absolutely ecstatic. He can do it all. He's accurate. He can move in the pocket. He's got great presence there. He can extend the play and make plays with his feet. And listen to everything that Ryan has said over at Ohio State. He's a great leader. He's a great teammate. And, you know, I don't know what the NFL sees, but I know that I think he's one of the best players that we've had to play against in my time, and I am absolutely ecstatic that he will no longer be at Ohio State. So,
you know, it's such a proud week for your program, and there's no downside at all to having two guys likely to be drafted in the first round. But I was kidding with Mully before, like, okay, can we still refer to Fitz as a coach who does more with less if he starts to get these guys who were first-round draft picks? And I guess, seriously, does it change the profile of the kind of player that you are able to recruit or that you will recruit as you start to get guys who are not using Northwestern, but stopping at Northwestern on their way to the National Football League?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got a great history of terrific players that have gone on to play in the NFL. It might not be the same numbers as your blue bloods, per se, but, you know, there were some tough years there that we've got to overcome, and we're building to where we want to be, where that's a consistent contender for championships. We're going to graduate all of our guys, and then we're going to prepare them for life, and playing on Sunday is a big part of their life. And, you know, our staff has done a great job schematically, fundamentally, and technically, and that's what one of the general managers said about both our first rounders. You know, they separate but different conversations, that just how technically and fundamentally sound, you know, our two guys play and how, you know, football ready they are. Where when you look at some of these other athletes that are going to go early, you know, they still got to develop the fundamental and technique, and that's something we hang our hat on. But keep saying that I do more with less, because that's a complete and total lie. We have any coach who's having success happens because of great players, and we've had great players here in my time. Maybe, you know, they haven't been the 1% that have gone on to play in the NFL with all of them, but we've had great players, and I've never subscribed to that narrative. But you know, I believe that our guys are every bit as good as anybody we play against, and hopefully that narrative will start changing. That you can have it all here at Northwestern. Top 10 degree, top 10 football, and be prepared for life and go play and be a first-round draft pick. So exciting times. Really looking forward to this weekend and great celebrations for those two families.
And I think it's great, and you should really enjoy it, but I also wonder about next year. You're losing a heck of a lot of talent. How will you guys look? How excited are you at the idea of fans back? I mean, it's just going to be a different year.
Yeah, it's going to be great to get back to quote-unquote whatever the new normal will be, but it's going to be awesome. I mean, playing in the Big Ten Championship game with fans, playing the Citrus Bowl with, you know, I think there was 25,000 fans there. It felt like there was 100,000. It was awesome. So excited to get the purple, you know, and the Wildcat Nation back into Ryan Field. We open up with the home opener, you know, against Michigan State on September 4th, you just can't wait for that. I think we're going to have a heck. I mean, we've recruited well. You know, we've got I think great experience coming back up front on both sides. You know, I think we're going to be very talented in the backfield and more speed at receiver. You know, we graduate a heck of a tackle, and we graduate a heck of a corner. But I think we recruited well. It's just going to be guys needing to develop and us to coach them better. But exciting times here in Evanston. We've built this thing on bedrock and look forward to competing again for the Big Ten West Championship and hopefully taking the next step this fall.
What was the transition like during spring football from Mike Hankwitz to Jim O'Neill defensively, because it had been so long and he was such an institution, Fitz, but transition is part of college football and so was change. But what was that like during the spring?
Well, I think the hardest part is on the players, right? And so I think Jim did a terrific job of working hard to build relationships with our guys. You know, when I was in the interview process, he talked about, you know, when he comes in here, this will be our defense. His, Matt McPherson, our great secondary coach, Tim McGargo, great linebacker coach, and Marty Long, our great D-line coach. They were going to do it together, and that's what they've done since they've started together. It's always with a coordinator change, it's a work in progress. And, you know, he's got a lot of energy. He's got a ton of passion. He's got instant credibility coming in and all the all pros that he's taught in the NFL. So our guys have bought in. They've done a great job, but it's definitely different. We're so proud of Hank. I mean, 400 wins, 51 seasons, coach's coach and a developer of men. And he's earned retirement, to say the least. So we're going to miss him. I'm sure he'll be around. But what a great legacy that he leaves, not only here at Northwestern, but also in college football.
You know, it's draft season, so we're hearing from so many evaluators talking about how difficult it is to kind of figure out who every player is because of COVID, because the new protocols, because you can't take guys out to dinner and do some of the stuff you used to do when you were working on it. What's it like in terms of recruiting? I mean, that was a really kind of short high school season for a lot of different schools, and it must have been more difficult than ever. How do you do that when you don't get to see the players very much?
Well, yeah, as unique as I've ever been a part of, I think we were actually able to see three or four of the players that we just signed in person. Everything else was on Zoom and pictures. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, as we project down the road 2, 3, 4 years where this goes with this class across the board in college football. You know, how it's not about the ones you don't get. It's about the ones you take that don't fit that end up getting you in trouble. So that'll be very interesting. And then we've been very conservative here with this year's class. We know things are going to open up in June. You know, it's going to be a little wild here in the month of June for us as coaches and for prospects. But, you know, we want to make sure we want to minimize mistakes. And so we've been a little conservative. That will definitely change in earnest here starting in June when we can get guys to campus and we can have camps. But, you know, I just think you got to be really smart. And then, you know, obviously the new landscape with the transfer portal. You've got to be able to plug and play and have that fit and do what you need to do for your program. And it's a different time, and you got to adapt and you got to evolve. And, you know, so far, so good for us.
Well, listen, Coach, congratulations. You're doing a fantastic job. You don't need us to tell you. Just really delighted. It's going to be a great weekend.
Have fun in Cleveland.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on. Enjoy the draft. So proud of these guys. And to all of our great Wildcat fans throughout Chicagoland, appreciate your support. Stay healthy and safe, and go Cats. Thanks.
All righty. Thanks, Coach. Fantastic. We had to get a go Cats.
Yeah, I had to get that.
That is awesome. Love talking to Coach Pat Fitzgerald. How about that, though, huh? How about the way that program is going? That's extraordinary. I mean, and he's so right. That degree opens doors. And it really does speak to NFL scouts. If you go there, people know that you're breaking your rear end because that's the way they play. That's what's expected.
And a lot of the things about Greg Newsom you like on tape, Mully. You've watched him. You like his 4.38 40 at his pro day.
Sure.
But a lot of the things off the field enhance his prospect status and make him even a more legit first-round possibility.
312-644-6767. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mully and Haw Flashback.
Flashback. Copper is the best pitcher the White Sox have. We all respect because I do like his pitching staff very much. Lynn, Keiko, Yolito, but the best pitcher they have all the way to right now to today is Mr. Kopech, no matter if he's out of the bullpen or throw or starting lineup. And you don't want to waste those bullets waiting. You just give this guy the opportunity. This kid want to be the starter, and you figure out by numbers now, because everything is by numbers now, you figure out how we can cover those 110 innings having him in the starter. You can skip him, like I say, and all of a sudden you power the inning, and you keep it up all the way to the end of the season. And I think, you know, I mean, to go to the playoff, you got to win the division first. And I think Kopech is a very good weapon for them to win the division.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Ozzie Guillen. I got to tell you, Ozzie Guillen is not waiting around for the playoffs with Michael Kopech, right? He's
right.
Saying, you only have so many bullets. Why waste them in the bullpen? Why not get to it, let him start, you know, change. I mean, I don't know, David. Six-man rotation, skip every other start, whatever you want to do. If Michael Kopech gets you 15 wins, you're more likely to win the division and you're more likely to get to the playoffs. Worry about what's in front of you as opposed to what's down the road.
And let's be clear here. This is Ozzie Guillen, World Series winning manager. This isn't Ozzie from Old Town, okay, who's calling and will hang up and listen for his answer. This is a guy that knows baseball, has dealt with young pitchers, and pays attention to what's going on with the White Sox as part of his job as the analyst for NBC Sports Chicago. So, Mully, I think we both have been like, okay, tap the brakes here. Michael Kopech, his development is more important than what happens to the White Sox this season. I think everybody would respect and understand a Steven Strasburg-like approach to Michael Kopech. Remember him with the Nationals before they won the World Series. Yeah. They shut him down. They shut him down and received some criticism at the time. So Ozzie is saying what, essentially? Keep him in the rotation, skip his turns, and find ways to put him on the mound every fifth day within reason, and then conserve his innings? Is that essentially what he's saying? Can we do the math on that?
That's what he's saying. He's saying do the math on it, and you can get 20 starts out of him, and he's going to win 15 of them, and you're going to be better as a result of it. Now, you know, I was saying, well, hang on to him, save him, unleash him at the end of the year. What kind of an idiot am I? They're only two games over 500, right? And I mean, lost to the bloody Tigers yesterday.
You're not an idiot. You're not an idiot.
Half an idiot.
Okay, well, am I the other half then? Okay, because I was agreeing with you, and I think we both, again, understand how precious and how important it is to preserve his right arm. He hasn't done this a lot. So let's do the math. Mully, there are 140 games left in the White Sox season, okay? So that's 28 more spins through the rotation if you have a five-man rotation. You can do the math that way. That would mean that Michael Kopech, let's go with the Ozzie model. Say he makes 20 starts, five-inning starts. That's got to be the max for him. Five innings every start. He can make 25-inning starts. You skip him eight times, which would mean every third or fourth start, you would have to find a sixth starter to substitute for Michael Kopech. It also would remove him from your bullpen equation. But say he starts 20 more times in the 140 remaining games and the White Sox go 15-5 in those games. Is that worth it?
I got to do the math, too. Let me take my shoes and socks off. Is it worth it, 15 wins? Yes, if you space it out.
But David, I know.
Of course it is.
It's rhetorical.
What I'm saying. Exactly. Here's what I'm saying. I think you have six guys. I think that what you do is you be very judicious about when you use him. And he might be a guy, like, I'd stay with the five-man rotation. But let's say Dallas Keuchel's back tightens up. Then Michael Kopech gets that start. I mean, you use him as a sixth starter, and you don't use him out of the bullpen. I know that's insane to think of it that way, because you'll be wondering, well, I mean, how can we go with a shorter bullpen if we're doing that? But he's preserving everybody else in the rotation as well as himself. So when you get to the end of the year, theoretically, he's won his 15 games, and they have kept and preserved the entirety of the pitching staff for the playoff run.
But I think that, okay, let's talk this through. The bullpen mentality, if you are a relief pitcher, you are used to the irregularity of your usage. So it doesn't matter as much if, okay, well, you're going to pitch 2 days in a row, then you're going to sit 2 days, then you're going to come back 3 days in a row, then you're going to sit two more. Michael Kopech, you can't do that to him. You can't do that to your other pitchers in the rotation either. Look at Dallas Keuchel. They're pitching him Friday instead of Saturday and pushing Lance Lynn back a day just to keep him on his typical rhythm and routine. So I don't know that you can say, Michael Kopech, you are a sixth starter here or there. We'll pick a spot. I think that you got to get him into a set pattern. All right, so every third start, you're going to introduce Ronaldo Lopez instead of Michael Kopech, and everybody else is going to be on their typical days. Give them a routine that they can cling to because they're creatures of habit.
Okay. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not arguing about that with the veteran pitchers, but I would argue about that with Kopech. because you're trying to limit the number of innings you're putting on his arm. So if he has to pitch, I mean, he wants to be a starter. He's right. being used out of the bullpen. Even when they use him for 3 innings, and then he gets to go a week before he can do his 3 innings again or whatever, 5 days. I'm just saying, all you're doing is basically adding 2 innings onto his appearance by letting him start a game. And if he's extremely efficient, maybe you can get to the to another inning in a particular outing because you're keeping your eye on pitch count with him and really with all these guys. I thought that I thought Giolito did enough to win the game yesterday, and it's a pity that he was left in and lost the game. And I think you've got to come to some sort of resolution and some sort of understanding. You know, Ozzie knows. The guy starts fidgeting and walking around because he's seen him play, and Tony has to learn that is one of the things he said. Does Eaton Katz not know that? Well, he wasn't there last year. I mean, he's watching him from afar.
But he's known him since high school.
But I'm just saying he knew him in high school for a couple years, and that's the last time he's been with him. He's helped him at various times, but you don't have anybody there that eyes on him. That understands, okay, listen, that's a signal that he's starting to get into some trouble here. And if Ethan Katz saw that, why the hell didn't he get on La Russa about it? And why did you come out and then leave him in the game?
Can we do something in the Sox dugout and install a Stone phone? Because I think Steve Stone could tell from the booth, not that he was, you know, he's very tactful in the way that he analyzes the White Sox, and he's very careful to kind of just get up to the boundaries. But everybody knew what was going on. He didn't have to wait for Lucas Giolito postgame to admit that he was gassed. And is that what he said? Of course it's what he said, Tony, because he was tired. Everybody saw it. So, yeah, I mean, that was frustrating last night, and every game counts. But this Kopech thing I think is interesting to consider because, all right, you're making some good points about you don't have to change everybody's routine necessarily. How about if you started Kopech twice and then you skipped a start and then 2 more times and skipped a start and every 3rd start you skipped?
Well, because you only have 20 starts total, right? So how would that add up? I don't know, David.
It would add up.
I think it would add up quicker than you think. Yeah, I like the idea of the Stone phone because it rhymes. And I like the idea that there'd be like a light on it. So the Stone phone shone red. And
what'd Steve say?
Tone alone gets to it. You know what I mean? Like it's just Steve talking to Tony. You got to get him out of there. I'd be all over that. I think that's a great idea. I think Tony La Russa would appreciate it.
He might. A different vantage point and a voice of experience. He knows these guys better than a manager coming in. Listen, if Ozzie's right and Tony needs time to learn his team, okay, I'm not going to argue with a World Series winning manager, but you need somebody in there that kind of knows these guys and can recognize these signs quicker than the manager who didn't seem to see the same signs everybody else saw. So if it takes a Stone phone for the right tone, go. Don't moan.
I have a friend. That what he said. I got a buddy who just texted me that they haven't tried that since Hawk with the scoreboard light. Come on.
Oh, boy.
It's awful. That's just hilarious.
A little awful.
Okay. But I like the idea. I like it, and it rhymes, and it's a good idea because it rhymes. I think that helps you get into it a little bit.
But, as much as we have done the math on the Kopech possibility and the scenario, and as much as Ozzie suggested it, Molly, I'm not sure I'm there yet with you. I'm not sure that I agree that that is the right way to go with Michael Kopech at this point in time. I think I need to sleep on it, but I think right now I would be reluctant to tax his arm this early with so much at stake in this season. I don't know.
You know, I got to tell you something. I think there's two things at play. One, I had dismissed that idea, and I had a very strong opinion as to why it was a bad idea. Two, it's Ozzie that said it, and I it just stopped me cold because I thought, is he right? Is that the correct way to do it? What have I said to you since the season began? I'm waiting for the White Sox to get 20 games over so I can enjoy the season. I need that to happen, and it's more likely to happen if Kopech pitches.
It could, or, you know, you hate to go the other direction because you don't want to have to shut him down August 15th because of the way that you've used him the first several months of the season when you were always – this is always about – well, not always. It sounds like we've been doing this forever. This season is about getting to October. They are a legit World Series team, and in that postseason, Michael Kopech can be the difference maker. He is special enough to think that he gives you an advantage in a playoff series against whoever. So you want him to be the strongest he ever has been in October, not April, not May, and not June. So that's what I think gives me a little bit of pause here.
But you use him as quickly as you can. Use him up. Then he's done. In comes Ronaldo Lopez.
Okay.
That was a total joke. I thought you'd have a laugh.
Yeah,
I don't want anyone to think I'm a serious suggestion there. That was just a joke. That's what he said.
Okay.
That was just a joke. I apologize. That wasn't a funny joke. I was just making light of the whole idea of getting anything out of poor Ronaldo because it's didn't happen. And everyone kept telling me that, he's throwing that curve like he was back in Washington. And then you turn around and you got to let him go to the extra.
How did that happen? And, you know, that's something that you don't talk about a lot because they do have strong pitching rotation. But, you know, what's he up to? What do you expect from him? Would he be trade bait? What are you going to get out of Ronaldo Lopez in 2021 as a White Sox organization? He's still there.
Yeah. Is Jimmy Lambert available? That's my question. All right, we're going to bring in Jim Miller from Hawthorne. We're going to talk a little bit about the Kentucky Derby. Big things going on at Hawthorne. It's the birthday. It's the 130th birthday for the racetrack. How about that? Pretty spectacular. And it's the 147th running of the Kentucky Derby. We'll discuss it with Jim next. Mully and Haw on the screen.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Tis the Law on the outside of Authentic. These two stride for stride as they come to the final furlong. Authentic is dragging in. Tis the Law all up to get by him. Authentic and John Velasquez have the lead as they come down to the 16th pole. Tis the Law still trying to get him. Authentic, Tis the Law, here's the buyer. Authentic has won the Kentucky Derby. John Velasquez does it with Authentic. Tis the Law has to settle for second. And then it was Mr. Big News. Honor AP ends up fourth. 2 minutes, 0.61 seconds was the final time for Authentic. Bob Baffert has done it for the sixth time.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Gosh, I love the Kentucky Derby, always have. And we are delighted to welcome in Jim Miller. He, of course, Hawthorne's on-air analyst, odds maker, the man himself, brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Mully. Good morning, David. How weird is it to think that Derby was run in September, too, last year? It's like it just happened.
Labor Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, so, we've seen some weird stuff the last 3 years. You saw a Triple Crown winner in 2018. We saw a Derby disqualification in 2019, and then a September Derby last year. So I'm curious to see what this year's Derby is going to hold.
You know, I got to tell you, I am fascinated to see, you know, just the difference in the horses, just how, you know, how we saw horses in some of the juvenile races that we're running in weird kind of patterns. I wonder what it's going to look like now that we see them heading into the Kentucky Derby. Obviously, the three-year-olds, a special group, and it's a wonderful thing on a year-to-year basis. And here we go. We've got now we know who's running. 20 horses. It's going to be Saturday at, like, what is it, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock Chicago time, right? 5:57.
Yeah, almost 6 o'clock our time, yep.
Yeah. So what is the feeling about it, Jim? When you look at it, does it jump out at you? Are there betting options here?
Well, and that's the beauty of it, guys. There's betting options galore. But like you said, it's so weird because of how the juvenile races ran and just the lead up to the Derby. If you think about last year, everybody was trying to earn those Derby points, thinking it was going to be the first Saturday in May. And then all of a sudden the pandemic hit and things really changed throughout the course of the year. This year, what we've seen is horses trying to gain those points. We're running big races. And then we've seen some of the top contenders that have kind of fallen by the wayside. Life Is Good isn't running in the Derby. Caddo River, Concert Tour, Greatest Honor. These were some of the top points horses leading into the Derby. So there was a horse with just 10 points that has made it into this field of 20. But guys, here's the cool thing about it. Essential Quality is your 2-to-1 morning line favorite. And this is a horse that's 5-for-5 lifetime. This was the horse that won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year. Now, the horse that finished third in that race was a horse by the name of Keep Me In Mind, and that horse was only 2.5 lengths behind Essential Quality at the wire in that race. Keep Me In Mind is 50-to-1 in the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. Wow. That's how wide open this race is. So the way I would look at it, guys, and there are some horses that I do like, there's so many great betting options. I have to try to beat the favorite in this race. You never know what's going to happen because this really does look like a year where someone's just going to rise up at the right time, run that huge race, and I do think you're going to have some huge payouts.
Jim, it's impossible to know, but part of the thing about getting sports back to semi-normalcy has been the effect. You miss the effect the crowd has on the outcomes or the crowd getting into it, the atmosphere that's created. Now, from what I understand, it's going to be, I mean, Churchill Downs is a capacity, what, 165,000, but there's going to be probably 45-ish there on Saturday. Impossible to know, but how do you expect that atmosphere to be, and how might that just, you know, change, if anything, people's approach, or if it does at all?
That's a huge benefit to the horses, actually, David, and you make a good point there. I mean, the paddock at Churchill Downs is really designed for having a 12-horse field. 20 horses makes it for a packed paddock. Then you put a ton of people in there, and you have young horses. You do see horses that act up. You do see horses that maybe run their race before they even get on the racetrack. These are horses that the paddock's on one side of the building. You walk through a tunnel, and then all of a sudden you're emerging out to another 100,000 people who are cheering as they're about to play My Kentucky Home when you walk onto the racetrack. And again, horses have that chance to act up. I think this race will be beneficial to the horses because you won't see them as much. So you're going to see horses that are definitely going to run, I think, a little bit more to their style, a little bit more of their type of race. And then it just comes down to that tactical race. But really, 45,000 people compared to 160,000 is a huge difference on Derby Day.
You know, I look at this, and I always, when you're talking about 20 horses in a race, it's you know, the trip is so important. And, you know, we know that different jockeys have different ways of going about it, and we know the trainers tell them what they want them to do. I kind of liked how highly motivated as a horse, and then he draws the 17 hole, which is kind of a boogeyman spot. How do you, Jim, look at where horses are and how it affects whether they can win or not?
Well, and here's the thing that's really weird, guys. All the way up until last year, they had their normal 14-horse starting gate and then an auxiliary gate that they had to attach to the gate to just get 20 horses in there. Last year was the first time they implemented the 20-horse starting gate, and it makes a difference because before, the gate was kind of angled in towards the rail a little bit, and if you were down in post 1, 2, 3, you had no shot at all. Now it's changed a little bit here, and you have that very long run down the stretch into the first turn with the 20-horse starting gate. But still, a horse like Known Agenda down on the inside, it's still going to be tough for a horse like that because you know everybody wants to tuck in into that first turn. For those outside horses, you really have to base it on running style. And you mentioned a horse like Highly Motivated, who is a speed type of horse. He ran his best race on the front end in that last out. He kind of has to wing it from the get-go to try to cross over into that first turn and not get hung four wide out there or have to go overly fast and use up his race early on. It really does become a rider's race. And there's been some jocks jumping around horses in this race a little bit too. And I think because of that, I want to look to a horse that has a rider that has been on that horse in prior starts and maybe has that running style where you don't need to be on the lead, but you can't be too far back either. And I do think we have some chances there.
So, Jim, you mentioned Known Agenda kind of drawing the rail and having maybe yesterday's bad news from Tuesday's draw. Anybody come out of it feeling better about the way things went and maybe looking at a different way just based on the draw?
Sure, and there's a couple of horses that you do have to look at in there. I mean, Essential Quality for sure. I know they are not upset at all about getting post number 14 because this is a horse that's going to rate close. The horse just to its outside, Ashley Rock Your World, I think drew favorably, drew the 15 hole there. But this was a horse that stepped up and ran a huge race in its last out. That's a horse that should be able to get away in good order, too. The horses that are your deep closers, it's not a big deal, really, to get buried early on because you just kind of tuck in and you try to save that ground. I guess your biggest concern could be a horse like the 19 Soup and Sandwich, who is a horse that has gained a lot of talk leading into this race. But when you're in post 19 and you have speed and you have four or five horses to your inside that can show speed, that potential to get hung wide early on makes it very tough. And this is a horse who's going to have its fourth different rider in as many starts. That's a lot to put on the back of jockey Tyler Gaffleone, too. I think it could be tough for Soup and Sandwich in the Derby.
So who are we betting?
All right, there's two horses here that I'm going to use, and you can use multiple horses when you're betting across the board when you have a field of 20 and you're trying to beat the favorite. My top pick, guys, is going to be a horse that's 30-1 in the morning line. It's the 18 Superstock. Wow. This is a horse from the barn of Steve Asmussen. Ricardo Santana rode last time and rides this time again. This was the winner of the Arkansas Derby. Now, you had two horses that set a good pace in front of Superstock. He rated right behind and ran right on by late, but this is a horse that's improving in each and every start. You will get pace to run at in the Kentucky Derby, so I'm going to use Superstock. And then to me, kind of the wild card is the 15, Rock Your World. This was a horse that's only 5-1 in the morning line. Won all three of its starts, but its last start was the first time the horse ran on dirt. It ran on turf in its first two starts. Joel Rosario rides, and if Rock Your World gets away in good order, this is the one horse that I think could steal it possibly on the front end. So I'm going to look to Superstock, a horse that can rate close, Rock Your World, a horse that may be able to steal it, and then we'll try to hook some big prices up around those two.
Wow, that's fantastic. Jim, thanks a ton. We should tell everyone, get out to Hawthorne, the big celebration, 130 years old. What an amazing spot. God bless you, Jim. Take care.
Thanks, Jim. Good stuff.
That is Jim Miller, and we are going to talk to Dan and Layla next. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.